Cave Paintings, circa 20,000 BC. Read for you by Katie Hessel. For centuries now, the assumption in Western cultures has been that a genius, especially an artistic one, will naturally be male. Women can be artists, yes, but even if every few decades or centuries have turned out a woman with vision and genuine talent, she's always been considered an anomaly. And, despite maybe enjoying success during her lifetime, usually been erased from history after her death. Recent years have seen us rediscovering many of these forgotten artists and exhibiting their works in group shows predicated by the word women, as though their being women was, by necessity, of greater significance for their art than being men was to the work of their male colleagues. Sometimes we even credit them with more talent than they actually had, as though trying to prove something we still don't quite believe ourselves, namely that women are kissed by the so-called muse no less frequently than men, that art isn't normally male and female only in exceptional circumstances, that inspiration and artistic potential actually have very little to do with testosterone. One of the factors contributing to this unapologetically persistent notion probably lies right at the beginning, in the origins of art history, in the image we have of the very first artists, cave painters. Most of the cave frescoes discovered in the 19th and 20th centuries portray grotesque female bodies, or, more commonly, large animals, bison, mammoths, horses, in hunting scenes. Of course, up until these discoveries, it was always presumed that women hadn't taken part in hunting. At the most, they would have gathered berries and nuts, but otherwise they sat around at home with the kids, which automatically led to the assumption that these early works of art had been painted by men. How could women have reproduced the experience of combat in the wilderness if they'd never gone through it themselves? This thesis seems legitimate, but is that how things really were? As previously noted, early scientists clearly found it very hard to imagine that gender roles might once have been quite different to those that prevailed in their own day. And this caused them to make several errors of judgment. In recent years, for example, new technology has helped us discover that many of the skeletons once exhibited as the bones of a Stone Age man and admired for their perceived strength are, in fact, the bones of a Stone Age woman. It seems that for a long time, women were almost exactly as tall and robustly built as their men, which, on the one hand, suggests they were similarly well-fed and, accordingly, must have enjoyed a roughly equal status in society, but above all, that they very likely did take part in hunting expeditions. They tracked animals, served as decoys, how nice, and maybe even carried the meat back home to the group. Hunting was, contrary to the popular claim still widely celebrated today, not a boys-only club. Women had their place on the hunt. They played a role and thus were definitely in a position to sublimate what they'd seen into artistic vision. Nonetheless, the possibility that women didn't just have practical things in mind, but also felt the same urge men did to express themselves and their view of the world, was long thought out of the question. Or, to be more precise, no hypothesis of the sort was ever even ventured. That is, until one afternoon, around 10 years ago, when the American researcher Dean Snow found himself standing in front of his bookshelves at Pennsylvania State University. He pulled down an illustrated volume on the Pecmal Cave in the south of France and began to wander. Only the day before, he'd stumbled across a study by a British biologist, a certain John Manning, who discovered that men's and women's hands differ in the proportional relationship between their fingers. Women's index and ring fingers are mostly identical in length, whereas men's ring fingers are usually longer. And so, as Snow sat down and opened his book on Peck Merle, the very first page of which showed the outline of a hand sprayed on a wall, he thought to himself, something's not right here. Over the preceding century, several hundred of these handprints had been found in caves and grottos in Latin America, Africa, Australasia. Most, however, were in Europe, where they had been between 12,000 and 40,000 years old. Our Stone Age ancestors seem to have sprayed them onto cave walls using an early airbrush technique. They'd position their hand, get out a reed tube or a hollow bone taken from a bird's skeleton, fill it with red pigment, the first colour we were capable of making, and blow into one end until the outline of their fingers was visible on the wall. Why they did this isn't entirely clear. It's thought that it was something like a signature, in the sense of, I was here, I painted this. The more pictures Snow looked at, the more obvious it seemed to him that the usual designation of these hands couldn't be correct. According to the finger theory, most just didn't look like men's hands, and so he developed a special algorithm to follow up on his suspicion. His most recent studies of the Cueva del Castillo in Spain, as well as Francis Gargas and Peck Merle caves, had revealed that 75% of the handprints displayed there are women's. Now, Snow's theory is just as famous as it is controversial. Some simply don't believe it. Others are completely convinced and have even taken it beyond the art aspect. They maintain that these handprints weren't simply painted on the caves. This wasn't l'art pour l'art, nor a form of signature, but a trace is left behind after some kind of ritual. In caves like these, according to the theory, the lack of oxygen makes it entirely possible to lose all your sensory reference points after a very short time and drift off into a kind of trance. As such, the paintings and handprints were less works of art than elements of a shamanic ritual, which in turn would mean that women might have been shamans. We still don't know if this is true or not, just as the now allegedly female handprints on the walls don't automatically prove that the paintings of animals displayed next to them were also created by women. But it would be worth considering as a possibility, if only for a moment, because who knows? Maybe the very first artistic geniuses in human history were actually women.